Ksuvas Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 11:1, new chapter, and here we're talking about the obligations, the rights and obligations of the widow relative to the heirs of the estate. So now, to understand this Mishnah, we have to remember that the husband, during his lifetime, when he married this woman, he took on two obligations. There might be others, but I'm going to focus on two right now. That are relevant for our Mishnah. The first is he agreed to provide her with mazonos, to support her in her material needs. Mazonos doesn't just mean food, it also means clothing, a place to live, clay bias, whatever that means, you know, like the utensil of the household, she needs, you know, a lamp and a table, whatever, a bed. And also it includes medical attention. So he has to provide for all those things as a husband to his wife. There's a bit of a quid pro quo, you recall, which is that in exchange for him providing her mazonos, she has to give him her ma'asa yada. She has to give him what she produces with her hands. And we actually had Mishnayos before, what she's expected to produce, and so on. Okay, so whatever, you know, her work around the house, as well as if she's like spinning wool, etc., that all goes to the home budget. That was the deal between husband and wife. In addition, the husband has an obligation to bury his wife. If she predeceases him, he has to incur the expense of arranging for her burial. Now, the quid pro quo there is that because she is bringing in an adunya, like a dowry. That was like the Nechse Tzom Barzel, was written in her ksuba. She's bringing in such and such a thing. It becomes his. They do write down the value when it came in, and that she gets the value, but she brought in stuff. So in exchange for her bringing in a dowry, he undertakes that he will cover her burial expenses. Now, when the husband dies, so his, not just his assets, but also his obligations to his wife devolve onto his heirs. So the Mishnah is now going to talk about what the heirs have to do with respect to this woman. Now, of course, if she were the only wife and these heirs are her children, everything's very simple, and our Mishnah really doesn't get off the ground exactly. She has to take, not so much. Where the Mishnah gets a little more complicated, the issue gets complicated, and therefore our Mishnah takes up the complication, is what happens if she has her own children from this marriage, and she also has stepchildren that from a rival wife, let's say. So if that's the case, so now, when he dies, the husband dies, so and she also dies, so then the deal is that if it's her heirs, the benin dichron, her heirs who will get the payment out of her ksuba, and not, which are her children, and not her stepchildren. Okay, so there's a little bit of a different allocation of the estate. And what the children are getting are that nechts and barzel, the stuff that was written in her ksuba, the payouts, you know, the amount of value based on her dowry brought in. Her stepchildren don't get that. So therefore, while the estate itself has to provide for her mazonos, because all the kids are going to be getting, like, essentially, you know, inherit that. And, of course, she'll have to provide ma'asa yadah, as the Mishnah will say, in exchange for that to the estate. But since only her children, as opposed to her stepchildren, are going to be getting her dowry through the ksuba, through the bedin dichron clause, so therefore only they will be obliged to pay for the burial. That's the gist of our Mishnah, really, that's the Mishnah in a nutshell. The Mishnah says inside now, Almana nizonas benichse yisomim. The widow is supported, again, mazonos, food, clothing, medical attention, place to live, from the nechse yisomim, the property of the, literally, orphans. It's not about yisomim, about orphans. The truth is, whoever is the heir, hypothetically, it could be her late husband's older brother, for argument's sake, if he's the next in line. If there's no children, then no father. So the point is, whoever is the heir, that person is responsible for supporting the widow. Ma'asi yadeha shelahen. And reciprocally, since that was the quid pro quo, she was agreeing to provide ma'asi yadeha, production, whatever she can, you know, produce around the house and whatever. So that now, in exchange, goes towards the home economics, and that means family budget. The yisomim can make use of whatever she produces. Ve'ein chayavin bekvurasa. However, her stepchildren, who aren't going to be inheriting her nechse tzom barzel payment, her dowry payment that she has in her ksuba, they won't have to pay for her burial. Yorshe ksubasa, in contrast, her heirs, Yorshe Ksuba, so the people who are inheriting her Ksuba, meaning the next stone Barzel that they are entitled to through Bidin Dichrin, those boys, her children, are the ones that are Chayavim B'Kvurasa, that have to pay for her burial. Period. So that's straightforward enough. But since the point is, it's the people who are getting her Nechset Zon Barzel that are responsible to pay for her burial, and that's why the Mishnah uses this kind of double language of Yorsheha, Yorshe Ksubasa, her heir is the one who get her Ksuba. Because there are scenarios in which her own children won't get special treatment getting her Ksuba to the exclusion of her stepchildren. And if that happens, so then they're not uniquely responsible for her burial. So, for example, we had a case earlier on in the Mishnah. They're all kind of unusual cases, but for example, let's say her husband dies, and then she dies prior to being able to make that shvua that she's entitled to pay out her ksuba in full. So we said that her children can't take the shvua that she didn't make because they don't know the facts if she was paid out, and therefore they won't get the special treatment. So in such a scenario, for example, it won't be her children, but the estate as a whole, including her stepchildren, have to pay for a burial. A similar case we had way back when, we talked about in the Shomeres Yavam case, where her husband dies and there's a brother, and then after that, she dies before she can do Yibum. So we said that his side gets the Nechset Zon Barzel, so then again, his side will be responsible for her burial, and so on. So the point is, whoever gets the Nechset Zon Barzel, which is typically her children, to the exclusion of her stepchildren, those are the ones, whoever they are, who will have to pay for her burial.